whistle while you work. Put on that grin and start right in to whistle loud and long. Just hum a merry tune.
Welcome to Company Break, a program dedicated to the companies and organizations in our local area, giving them a chance to talk about what services they can provide for you, our WCRI listeners. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Company Break. I'm Mike Maino, very happy to be sitting with Alan Sylvester, who is the managing director of the Sylvester Wall Group, members of the Wells Fargo Advisors from Mystic, Connecticut. Welcome to the program, Alan.
Thank you, Mike.
Nice to see you and nice to have you with us. We haven't been doing a lot of in-person recording. We're just getting to the point where we feel that in the studio here we can be separated by a good social distance and we can have guests in the studio. So it's nice to have a real person instead of a Zoom.
Feels good to be seen, actually.
Right. It is starting to change a little bit. We're hopefully getting there a little at a time and everyone's staying safe. The Sylvester Wall Group in Mystic, Connecticut. And let's just talk about it's interesting that you have the same last name as the name of the company.
Yeah, well, it's kind of been fun ride along the way. So we started about 25 years ago, and I'm local. I grew up right 4 miles away from where my office is.
Okay.
And actually have been working with partners of mine for the last couple of decades that I grew up with. So it's kind of been a hometown feel from the whole beginning.
So this is something that you started, not something inherited from your great-grandfather or something like that.
No, I started it. You know, I wanted to be an educator. So when I started looking for things to do, I had started in finance, running part of a bank, and actually a very large bank in the country. Broke away from there very early, wanting to focus more on individuals than big business, and came back to my hometown and started early as a financial planner. I've been a certified financial planner for about 20 years.
Okay.
So education was the key from the beginning, still is today.
When you said came back to your hometown, you went away for school?
Yeah, I went away for school, and I landed in a beautiful part of Maine called Camden, Maine.
Oh, sure, Camden Opera House.
Yeah, you've been there.
Been many times.
Beautiful spot, yeah.
Yep, that's one of my favorite places to perform in a small New England environment.
Yeah, not many people know that spot. It's a beautiful spot. I lived there for a couple of years, absolutely loved it.
You know, interesting getting into the investment business. It's not like I want to grow up to be a fireman. I want to grow up to be a policeman. It's a pretty specific area. And so schooling, I presume you concentrated on that? And then,
you know, actually I did.
Finance or, you know.
Yeah, I never thought I would actually do what I do now. And, you know, I had a degree in undergraduate in economics.
Okay.
And then I actually did some publications in economics. Mm-hmm. And early on, I had really enjoyed working with people specifically, not just the economics piece, a couple different routes you can go. So when I had a chance to, you know, start to listen to people, understand their goals, and actually apply my knowledge to help them implement plans,
right,
to me it was just a thrill. Still is today, all these years later.
Excellent. It's always good when you enjoy what you do. Now, you know, it's been some interesting times over the last 20 or 25 years. How has the environment changed for people over those, over that time period? You know, when I was a kid, you used to think about, well, I got to buy gold, or I got to buy silver, or I got to plan for my retirement. How has the environment changed from perhaps when I was younger, that 5 or 10 years ago? Well, actually,
a couple years ago.
But how's it changed dramatically over the past?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest things I've seen, maybe two or three to focus on, you know, doing work specifically with individuals and some corporations, is the access to a variety of things. And I think we see this play out on the world stage. The consumer's access to information today has changed the way that people view things that are appropriate.
Sure.
And perhaps the way that they are able to implement solutions. Mm-hmm. And that access comes through people like myself, but also can come directly. I mean, there's a small little thing people use almost every day, and it's Google, right? So
right.
I think that's changed a lot. The last 20, 25 years of this work that I've been in, and it's been very empowering. So access to information, much more significant than it ever was before. Major change.
Right, the social media and everything. I know when my wife and I are sitting around and saying, you know, I can't remember who the star of that show was. Instantly, she's on her phone, and she says, oh, it was, you know, Tom Selleck. And I'd go, oh, yeah. But, you know, years ago, we would have had to wait and think about, you know, in the middle of the night, wake up and say, oh, I remember now. So yeah, the social media and the advent of Google and all of the information that's out there, I'm sure also changes how people work with their finances.
I think it does. I think you're right. I think there's a challenge. You know, everything you see, there's a dual edge to it, right? So the access is very positive, but I think people's ideas of time frames have been challenged. You know, mm-hmm. the reason I got in the business originally was to help people change their lives through financial planning and money. This is why we do our work today. And it's always difficult to see when people access information and they then stew over it, might be a good word over it. You know, there's an empowerment with information, but there's also the flip side of that. So, you know, I think one of the things we've seen in the last 20, 25 years is this powerful bit of information, but we need to make sure that we use it in a way that's appropriate so that it positively affects our lives. So we really work hard to make sure that our group takes control over the information, making sure that we are using the proper information and that people don't have to worry about having to gather too much or mm-hmm. be exposed to some of the pain of all of that day-to-day bombardment.
Yeah. I know when I was younger, I don't remember when I first heard the term financial advisor, but I know that it was not your average employment opportunity for people when I was young. It wasn't something you heard about. Maybe that was the circles I grew up in. I don't know, but I knew bankers and I knew lawyers and I knew doctors and
sure.
You know, but I think that whole industry has changed probably from, you know, over that 20 or 25 years where it's become people are more aware of the fact that they should be planning.
Yeah, I agree. I think that that's been a positive advancement the last 20, 25 years. And I do think that the accountability has gone up, which is a great thing. And maybe that's part of the maturation people through their ages. Mm-hmm. You know, there becomes a time when you look at yourself and you say, you know, if I haven't started, I need to start now.
Right.
And, you know, a financial advisor today, it used to be you were a stockbroker, quite frankly. You know, when I started in the business, we had a ticker, you know, we were buying stocks. That's what people did.
Right.
Financial planner today is much more of an important part of a family if done properly, right? Mm-hmm. You're part of a team.
Sure.
So I know our group spends a lot of time working with the trusted advisors of an individual. So think of it as maybe your personal financial officer that's working with the whole team. That never was the case before. It's a really good thing.
Now, you mentioned team. Does that mean it's you and your dog, or how many people are involved?
Well, I do have two dogs. I love those.
See, I knew I'd strike that.
Yeah. So we you know we're fortunate. We're local. We're down in Mystic, mm-hmm. and in our local offices we have five folks that are part of the team.
Oh, okay.
Which is great.
Yeah.
And we have more than that too. We have access to lots of folks. That's been the secret to our sauce over the years, that we've been able to have a small town group that has access to people we can pull in when necessary. We're a big believer in team. I grew up, my dad was in the Army and mm-hmm. was always impressed upon me that, you know, you're stronger as a group. So we have a good number in Mystic, Connecticut, but we access throughout the whole country, which is really nice.
Now, is that part of the Wells Fargo logo that we talk about?
Good question. Every advisor has a back office that I'll say they clear through. And what I mean by that is that we are custodying assets for individuals safely, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're safeguarding information safely. So you need an organization behind you that invests in technology, that invests in the safeguarding of clients' assets. We chose to affiliate with Wells Fargo Advisors, which was a great opportunity for us because I started at AG Edwards & Sons, which is a regional investment firm out of Missouri. And we happen to love the Midwest culture and the feel of the folks there. They're very trustworthy. And the same people there today at Wells Fargo Advisors that were there at AG Edwards. So yeah, that's our back office that we use to support people around the country.
So is Wells Fargo, I'm not sure I'm following,
yeah,
they take over Edwards or?
Good question. Yeah, actually AG Edwards became Wells Fargo after about 20, 25 years.
All right.
Through a number of acquisitions.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So I mean, because both of those names are very well known. I think the average person would recognize either one of them.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that it was now one.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's why I'm here, because I learn something every day.
Yeah.
What observations have you made as it relates to investments and people, you know, planning their financial goals?
I think the two or three key observations is people are taking more time to do that, which I think has been a byproduct of, once again, the maturation in out there, our age. You're my age, right? Mm-hmm. So one of the things I can say is I think people are taking more time to actually do it, which is a very positive thing. At the same time, on the flip side, I talk about kind of the yin and the yang of this. I see people not being as honest as they can with their significant others. So when we work on financial plans, it's very important for us to engage the individual and the people that are affected by the individual. That's parents. I think, you know, we can all, I know myself and others, taking care of parents. We have kids, right? So one of the things I've seen that's been needing to be improved is, although there's communication, there's not enough honest communication amongst the family groups. So we work really hard at doing that. We have things called family meetings. We listen very carefully. We ask if we can engage others. We try to learn really about the family tree so that as we go through the plan for decades with people, we make sure that we're making the positive effect all the way across the family unit. Just something I've observed.
Right. Do you have find yourself having to work with attorneys?
Absolutely, all the time.
And planning on estates and wills, yep, and things like that.
Yeah, we do a lot of work there. That's one of our specialties. In fact, you know, it used to be that 20, 25 years ago, you would call on an attorney and it was almost a solicitous type event. With our group, I know we actually get called from the attorneys, so we're often engaged for our expertise. And, you know, these are the types of conversations like we're having. Mm-hmm. There's no charge to the client from us. It's just engaging that professional that's going to be an important part. So, yeah, we are absolutely engaged with the attorneys regularly.
So, so there's no charge to the person for the conversation.
Correct.
Initially.
Yeah. Yep.
Someone would say, okay, if I don't know anything about financial planning, if there's no charge, you probably earn a living somehow.
Absolutely, yeah.
So where does that money come from?
Great question, Mike. So, and that's part of the sea change with the last 25 years for consumers, which has been positive. We as a group, not all groups, essentially get paid to manage assets. So although we're financial planners and I'm a certified financial planner, the only fee we take is for the assets that we manage. Example, client has a retirement account with us. Although we're engaged in complete financial planning across the family spectrum, if they have $250,000 in that account, they're basically paying 1% per year on that $250,000. Everything else, the whole other service model, those five individuals, the work with the attorneys, the plan, the implementation, the follow-up, has no charge to it. The way we make our money is through the managing of those assets.
Kind of sounds like a no-brainer. If you're in the position that you need the help, sounds extremely economical. It's a great way to do it. There's no direct invoice as such.
Correct.
Is that what you're saying?
Okay. Yeah, and it makes it simple. We made a decision a long time ago that that's how we would charge. I moved away from commission-based investing and for clients 20 years ago, very early adopter. Wanted to sit on the same side of the table, so to speak, as the client. Mm-hmm. Wanted to have complete transparency, have them understand exactly how they were charged. Another important item was, up till recently, that was actually tax deductible against certain other fees other income. That's unfortunately been taken out of the tax code, but that was a benefit to our consumers as well.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful way of doing business. We're going to talk more with the Sylvester Wall Group after a short commercial break. The Sylvester Wall Group is the subject of this morning's Company Break. I'm Mike Mano, talking with Alan J. Sylvester, who is a managing director, and is it appropriate to say owner, Alan?
I don't think I'd say owner. I think we're all partners.
All partners, so, sure. Okay. And you mentioned that there are several of you in the office in Mystic, Connecticut,
yep,
as well as the national backing of, as I would put it, you may phrase that differently, of Wells Fargo Investors. And we've talked quite a bit about the environment and some of your observations over the last few years. One of the things we didn't really touch on was the difference in the economic environment, if you will, in the last year, the up and down of the stock market that everybody's aware of, the up and down of this and that financially, the price of gold, the price of oil. Does all that get into what you do?
Absolutely. It's in the backdrop. And we focus on that so others don't. And I think, you know, as an economist, by the way, by trade is where I started, we do a lot of education. In fact, I have a talk that's usually very well attended coming up in October. But the economy right now is confusing for a lot of folks. And I want to make a couple key points today with you and I, because I think it's important for your listeners to they hear what's going on. But there are some things today that are much different, and they will affect investors' portfolios and their plans. The primary thing that we're looking at right now, one of the major things, are interest rates. You know, interest rates themselves, as you know, and I'll ask you this, what do you get on the savings account if you put your money in savings?
Nothing.
Right, right. Now, the flip side of that is that mortgage rates are very low. Yeah,
sure.
Right? The idea, though, that we're at this level in interest rates, and that we've had this massive participation from our federal government to help stimulate the economy, certainly is a signal of how difficult things are or could have been through this pandemic, right?
Right.
So we're in a major situation. The economy itself seems to be a little bit disconnected from the markets. And we get that question a lot, because if you look at clients' portfolios, I know in our portfolios that we manage, people have actually done quite well this year, because of the backstopping of the federal government in either the purchasing of bonds, which are an important part of portfolios, or the lifting up of the equities. Because what do people do if they don't get money on their savings account? Where do they go? Take some risk.
That's right. Right.
So,
but with risk.
Exactly. And so the economy today has been a very interesting to watch. Specifically for us, though, we're very, very happy with the resilience to the consumer, and that's been an important backstop.
Yeah, it's interesting when, you know, a lot of people think, well, I'm just going to pay attention to the Dow Jones average,
right,
and I'll know whether I'm doing good or not. Well, that's not necessarily the case, right?
Often not. So an example, and I think these statistics are a little dated now, but the S&P 500, which has got 500 large companies in it, about 95% of those companies weren't positive for the year. About 5% or less were carrying the whole index up.
Wow.
And many industries have been left out. Examples, utilities, real estate, industries that generally have companies that give you good income, which is the backdrop and stop for many investors. So a lot of people have actually been left out of the index returns, either because they don't have those few names or they haven't stayed the course, which is a very important part of investing.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's as you mentioned, it's a risk. I guess you would never use the term gamble, but for the average person, when they're thinking about stocks and bonds and so forth, or what the S&P is doing, should I invest in this? Should I sell this? Should I hold on to it? And you know, there's a lot to be said for having someone like yourself that can advise you. During the commercial break, we talked about how easy this is to talk about for you, because I said, well, it's not brain surgery. You're not a surgeon. If you were, if I handed you a scalpel, you might have a little bit of problem in the conversation. But you're very well versed in all of this, so you go to an expert in the field that you need. If you need your brain operated on, go to a brain surgeon.
Well, and it's about accountability and having someone actually guide you through the process, because it isn't rocket science at all. But there are some principles and processes that need to be followed that are difficult for you to follow if you're left on your own. I parallel it to even training, and I do a little bit of training myself. You're much more successful if you have a trainer, right, or
sure,
a partner that's going to show up. And you're going to work out with them, right?
Right.
So a good financial planner and a good financial planning team is really about keeping you on track. And, you know, there's a lot of folks in suits and ties that can talk very fancy about things. And so could I if I had to. But the root of it is discipline,
right,
transparency, right, and tying things back to a plan so that you can see you're on track, so you don't make the emotional decisions. That's why financial planning teams, I think, are so important as it relates to success over a period of time. Study after study will show you, whether it's Ibbotson, which is a good collector of data, or Morningstar, that most investors, they don't get the returns that are associated with the actual printing of the investments because they don't stay the course. The plan helps you stay the course. That's right. That's what we're there for.
The plan, the team, the trust that's involved, that someone can rely on you and your associates to help make the right choices.
Correct.
You know, yeah. I used to relate it to someone who said, I don't need a financial planner. I can do this myself. And I would ask them a question about the market. They'd have no idea. I'd ask them about, well, what about, you know, do you have a will? Do you have trust? Do you have, you know, all the different things that go into it? And they'd, I don't know. But, well, it's no different than trying to assemble a very involved piece of furniture from IKEA. You follow the directions. You get the, you know, one step after the other, and that's what you do. You give them the steps.
We do, and the team environment is great because we're there during the transitions, right? In transitions, I'll give you an example. This weekend, we're here on a Monday. I had three calls on my cell phone this weekend from one client and two friends in the community, and they all related to planning for their parents who were in a situation of long-term care.
Right.
So the questions were coming through about the document to the attorney, what attorney should they go to, what's the Medicaid planning, how do they communicate with their siblings. Those are the types of things that we do all the time. It's so far removed from actually the picking of Microsoft or Google. We do all that. We manage hundreds of millions of dollars that we're in charge of every day. But our clients don't have to worry about that. That's table stakes. What keeps them up at night? Long-term care planning, special sure. needs planning, is things tied together? Those are the conversations we end up having on the weekends because
right.
people are right in the middle of it.
Absolutely, and people are concerned about if they're along in years, what's going to happen when they're gone with their money, with their assets. That's all part of it, and that's, you know, part of the planning. You can't just let things happen. Too many people I know that have just let it go, and then you know, their spouse is left with a mess.
Right. And what's the cost of not planning?
You
know, people, and I think costs are important. We hit on it earlier in the program, and you mm-hmm. asked me about key observations over the last number of years. Fortunately for consumers, costs have gone way down. We can utilize internal portfolios that charge literally a tenth of 1%. And charge a 1% fee for all this planning, the consumer is paying a lesser fee annually than they've ever paid before for a very professional situation that saves them money over the long term. Right. I think that's one of the keys for our group.
Well, it's a win-win situation.
I believe so.
If your clients are doing well,
correct,
and continue to grow and prosper, then you have the opportunity as a company.
Well, right. And how do clients measure whether they're doing well or not, Mike? How do you think?
Well,
I'll put you on the spot.
I would guess they would say, well, what's my 401k worth or something like that?
It can be. I tell you, we've educated our clients as they've educated us. The first thing you always are measuring to check the box off is, are you achieving your objectives? Mm-hmm. So we measure things over three stages. One, because we meet with clients twice per year reviewing their plans, and we have a number we know they need to meet. We have a percent. It's their personal rate of return. It's not the market rate of return. It's their personal rate of return. If we can check that box off, then that's good. We got one box checked. Next box is, how well are you doing as a consumer relative to the risk you're willing to take? You can't throw yourself in with everybody else because, quite frankly, others could be taking more or less risk than you. So we measure that. We say, based on the risk Mike is willing to take, how well is he doing compared to those markets? Mm-hmm. And then finally, we do a nice peer analysis. So we make sure that in the circle of people that we are measured against, that we're ranking well too. We can check all three of those boxes, clients in good shape. But most importantly, the first box, are you achieving the rate of return necessary for your goal? Not for your neighbors, not for me, but for you.
Right. And it's something that changes as time goes by. I know some people will say, okay, I got a financial planner. I don't have to talk to him for another 20 years. That's not good.
Doesn't usually happen like that for us anyways.
Well, right. I mean,
yeah,
in a
right.
person's mind, it's like, I've done that now.
Yep.
But that's not what you want.
No, we want to check in. Accountability. My dad taught me a long time ago. My dad was in the military, as I told you. And he always, you know, told me to show up, right? And do the work when people aren't looking. And that's how we've managed our group, and I think successfully, is that when people aren't looking, it's the work you do then that really counts.
Right. And the team approach that you have is important, so that all of you are working together. Now, within your team, you more than one person works on one account?
Great question. Yeah, we do. We actually have the blessing of technology and having people willing to embrace it. Any client that works with our group, the information, which is confidential, of course, but is shared through the whole team. So we have staff meetings always once per day. In fact, I'm missing it this morning, though. Sometimes twice. And we're always interacting on a client's file. So the whole team knows every single client we have. Mm-hmm. I can guarantee you that everybody in the team knows the name, knows the objectives, and then they can review the file on demand or as we're working through a process. One person might take the lead, but everybody knows what's going on.
How important is it for someone with major changes in life to mm-hmm. get to you? For example, they saw you a couple months ago, but all of a sudden their spouse has passed away, or they got married or divorced or whatever.
It's very important, and it's not just the math or the number aspect of it. It's how people feel when they understand that they're in a good position. So that happens a lot in critical moments, like you mentioned, with health. But also in joyous moments, right? When someone has a baby and wants a fun college education, the critical moments, those ones that are often most difficult for families, it's important they reach us right away, and we are available for them right away. And that's an important thing to be.
So if people want to get a hold of you, they can do that, I'm sure, by calling a phone number or going to a website.
Yeah.
What's the website address?
Absolutely. The easiest way to do it is to go to your Google and Google Sylvester Wall Group at Wells Fargo Advisors.
Excellent. And Sylvester, just it'll come up, but just so you know, is Sylvestre.
Yeah, thank you. And I would say good to call one of the partners too. I would call Heather Brissett at 860-572-2899.
Call Heather. Operators are standing by.
Absolutely. Happy to help.
Well, Alan, it's been a pleasure talking with you this morning. I'm sure we could go on for hours, and there's so much to learn and so much to consider in this, but the time is up, and thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Mike. Pleasure to be here.
Make sure you give Alan and his group at Sylvester Wall Group a call or check them out at Google and get your finances straightened out. We'll see you all next time on Company Break.
Whistle while you work.
Thank you for listening to WCRI's presentation of Company Break. I'm Mike Maino, hoping you have a great weekend.